Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Hey! How's it going, everybody? Awesome, man. It's so good to be here, man. It's such an honor to be asked to and have the opportunity to get to share with you this morning. You know, typically I'm hiding behind a guitar, and so this may be weird for you. I do have a midsection. I'm not hiding anything. There's no stain that's like perpetually there. But maybe this is your first time here. Just to introduce myself, Pastor John kind of did a little bit, but my name is Sean. I actually do work here at Victory full-time. It's my job, but I work in the capacity of the worship team, which is the moment we had going at the beginning of service there. And my job title is band director, and so I primarily work with the musicians and also just leading worship and just really equipping our musicians and everybody in the team. And I've been doing that for a few years now. But I actually started, in fact, I've actually only worked at Victory Family Church. It's the only place I've ever worked, which is kind of crazy, you know? But I started out working in 2006, summer 2006. I started working here in maintenance. And I was like cutting grass and, you know, sweeping and mopping and all that good stuff. And some of it wasn't so much fun. But there were parts of it, though, that were that I really actually liked. I really liked doing the cutting of the grass and all that kind of stuff because I could just listen to messages and music and whatever all day. But you know, really the most important event, though, I would say over the last year of my life has been about 10 months ago. In fact, it'll be 10 months a week from today, I believe. I got married. Yeah. What's up? And so I got married. I got a picture of us, right? Hey, there we are. Awesome. That's my wife, Sarah, woohoo! And that's right, I just gotta show her off, right? Just my trophy, that's right. So it's kind of funny, Sarah actually said about that day, this is a direct quote, it was the worst event of my life. It's true, I was like, yes! That's what I was hoping for. Now, just to explain, okay, it was an awesome day, okay? Really, we really did enjoy it. We had a lot of fun. Everything went so well. It was a little hot. It was like probably the hottest day of the year. But man, we had so much fun. But she was talking about the planning process, right? Ladies, come on. Can I get a witness? If you've been married within the last 20 years and you're planning your wedding and pulling it all together, some of you cheated. Some of you used wedding planners, all right? But those of you who womaned up and you did it yourself, you know. You know that the torture of putting that seating chart together. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You can't pair this person with that person. But they don't know each other, and this one's going over here. And you know, okay, so that's the context, just to explain, okay? My wife did not hate her wedding day. Just so you know. It was great. But as we get into it this morning, real quick, I want to pray. Because one, I don't really have anything to give to you this morning. Awkward, yeah. So, in and of myself, I don't have anything to give to you that can actually give you any kind of long-lasting benefit to your life of any kind of eternal value. I got nothing. Aren't you glad you're here today? It's like the one time we came, Pastor John's not here, and the guy who is speaking, he can't give me anything. What's going on around here? So that's why we're going to pray. So make it a good one, all right? Here we go. Let's pray together. Come on. Father, We come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much that you are in our midst today, as you already have during the time of worship. And Lord, we just, right now, Father, we just set our hearts in a place of expectancy on you, getting our beliefs attached, Lord, to you. Lord, we want to hear from you. We don't want to hear just some person. We want to hear your words, and not just the words that you want to speak, but how you want them to be said. And so, Father, we just set our hearts upon you. We are expecting, Lord, to hear from you, not just things that we can hear and say, well, wasn't that nice, but, Lord, we take it to live out the life that you have for us in everyday life, Father. And we just thank you so much for speaking to us today. We open up our hearts wide that you would fill it up. You fill up our hearts, God, with what we need. And we thank you so much for that today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. 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 Awesome. Well, look, I've grown up in church. All right, I was almost, I might as well have just popped out, like, out of the womb into, like, a church pew, because I pretty much have grown up around church, and that was always the thing. There were even times my parents could tell you where, you know, Stephanie and I, my sister, one of my sisters, I have two sisters, Stephanie and Rachel, where we would kind of almost drag our parents to church, which I know probably sounds kind of weird, but really, you know, because my dad worked at the church and stuff, and probably would have appreciated, you know, maybe a weekend off, like not going to church all the time. But we're like, no, we are going to church. Step it up around here. So we were the spiritual leadership in our home, and that's not true. That's not true at all. I'm just joking. But so you know, when you grow up a church kid, anybody grow up in church, like church kids, can I get a holla? Amen. All right. So you kind of get familiar with church culture, the things you do, the things you don't do, and all that kind of stuff. But there's a number of kind of things. You know, as a kid, like you hear stuff and you don't always understand. And I just remember one time hearing about tithes and offerings and giving and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought, like, why does God want people's tithes? I could never figure it out. Like, I pictured in my head, like, you know, the offering bucket or plate or whatever is being passed around, and, like, there's all these guys with clip-on tithes just pulling them up. Pass it on. I was like, man, I need to stop going to church. Our clothing budget is through the roof, you know? And it's almost like, does God need men's tithes or something? Like, God's up there in heaven looking at Jesus saying, ever since we entered this dispensation of grace, the angels are slacking in their dress code. Clearly, we need more tithes. Let's step it up around here, angels. Let's go. Come on. I'm so holy, holy, holy. Let's go. So, you know, just weird, weird stuff. You know, when you hear that kind of things, you just don't understand, you know, as a kid. But that was a point in time where we actually moved here from Oklahoma, moved here to Pennsylvania in March of 2003. And 3 months later, there was a summer camp coming up for youth, Jack. In fact, yesterday I said tomorrow, and all the parents were like, it's tomorrow! No, now it's tomorrow. Okay, it's Monday. The kids, our teens, our students are going off to Jack Camp. It's the youth summer camp, and it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. And but I didn't want to go because, you know, we just moved here. It had been 3 months, and I didn't really know. I kind of knew of people, you know, but I didn't really know anybody. So I was kind of like, I don't know if I really want to go. But I did end up going. I can't remember if we were forced or what, but we ended up going. And I just ended up, man, there I really just firsthand encountered, like, the presence of God in a way that was real to me. You know what I mean? It became, like, real. And one of the big things that got me wasn't so much what was going on the platform in the time of worship, per se. What really sticks out in my mind was seeing other people around me just going for it, for Jesus. Like, man, he's alive. And they weren't just singing because they liked the song, but because, man, they were connected from their hearts to God, you know? And I was like, man, what is this? This is awesome. And it was just real easy for me to catch that and jump in, you know? But, you know, years pass, time moves along, and you know, it's really easy when you're kind of doing church, you're walking with God for a while, you kind of get apathetic sometimes. You know, you have those times where it's real, where you can kind of get, things get in a funk, and it kind of gets dry, you know? And it was in one of these types of seasons a few years ago that, honestly, I wasn't spending that much time with God. I wasn't really, like, reading the Bible all that much or praying, that kind of stuff. And it was in one of those moments where I think I was, like, in bed, maybe journaling or something, and God just speaks to my heart, like just a knowing in my heart. I can tell that the origin of these thoughts isn't just me thinking stuff up. It's coming out of my heart. And God just says, you know, Sean, right now, you're pretty much okay with just being good without God, without me. You're pretty much okay with just kind of being moral and being a good person. Okay, so you won't just go out and go, like, you know, drunken parties all night long. Okay, so you're not going out and doing maybe the crazy whatever stuff. But you're okay with just being good, just kind of being moral, but without me. And Sean, really, there's really no difference. That's just pretty much what people who don't know me do. You don't need me to do that, to kind of just sort of develop kind of your own, like, okay, I'm being pretty moral, I'm being pretty good. And that got me thinking. I was like, okay, well, What is the thing that makes us different then as believers? If the world, because you know, by and large, whenever the world looks at Christianity and just religion in general, it kind of looks at it as, okay, so Christians, they kind of have this code of conduct, this is what they believe, and this is kind of, you know, Islam has this code of ethics, and you know, Buddhism has this, and Christianity is just sort of one of these sets of codes of conduct, and Christians are the ones who say, I pick this one, and I'm just going to follow this set of do's and do nots, this set of rules, and that's basically what it is. And the reality is, as believers, as Christians, we can inherit that same type of mentality, where we look at it through the lens of, okay, what do good Christians do? Okay, they read the Bible. All right, I'll read my Bible every now and then. They go to church. I'll go to church. You know, every once in a while or something, just enough to feel good about myself, and I'll pray every once in a while, and maybe even give my money, and I'll serve in the children's ministry. I will change poopy diapers. That's bonus points, baby. Bonus points. And we can think about, you know, God, isn't that what you want from me? Isn't that what you're looking for? I want us, if you have your Bible here this morning, or maybe you have your phone and you've got the Bible app or YouVersion or whatever, let's pull that out together. And I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1, and it's a pretty familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to maybe look at perhaps a slightly different angle than maybe you've thought about it before. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1 says this: If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Now, in context, this is talking about, in doing all of these things that it lists, that we need to have a love for the people that are on the other side of all these different acts. So in context, that's what it's talking about. But I want to look at it maybe a slightly different angle, and this isn't extra-biblical, crazy, whatever, okay? In 1 John, it says that God is love. That when you look at God, you're going to see a picture of love. And God, the God in love, true love looks like God. And so I want us to look here, every time where it says love, that we substitute in God. So let's look at that together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, that sounds good, but have not God, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, man, that's it. If I could just move in prophetic stuff, speak words over people and all those kind of things, man, that's it. And if I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I've got the Bible memorized. I got my theology and my doxology and trigonometry all down. That's it. Then I've got it made. Or if I have all faith and I can move mountains just like that, oh snap. Now I've got it. If I do all that, but I have not God, is that possible? Is that possible? If I don't have God, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, if I just give everything away to the poor, that's when I'm godly. That's when I'm doing it. And if I deliver up my body to be burned, I give my life as a martyr, but I have not God, I gain nothing. Not even zero, but take zero and then get rid of that. Now you have nothing. Is it possible to do all these good things, all these amazing things, and certainly they're good? Is it possible to do all of that and still do it apart from God? Is it possible to do all of that and have it count for absolutely nothing? And yet from the outside, it looks good. But the problem is, it's not God. Now, I just want to clarify for one moment. I know John Bevere just wrote a book called Good or God. I just want to say, God spoke that to me years ago, so this didn't just pop up because of him, all right? I'll let him use the title. I'm not suing. I'm not offended. It's okay. He's a brother. Brother in Christ. It's all good. But here's the thing. If all these different things, and they sound, and they're good things, If all this stuff isn't what makes us different, and isn't, if it doesn't count for anything, if we don't have God, then what does mark us? What makes us different? And I am so glad you asked that question. Let's go to Exodus chapter 33. The answer is right in here, Exodus 33. We're going to start in verse 13. But I want to set this up because in the midst of this moment, what we're stepping into is God has told Moses, I'm kind of fed up with my people not doing what I've told them to do. They're just rebellious against me. They have bad attitudes and all this stuff. They're not with me. So quite frankly, I'm kind of fed up. Moses, just take the people, go into the promised land, have at ye. And the implication of this is God's not really going to go with them. You just go take it. Kind of want you out of my hair at this point. And this is part of Moses' response that we're picking up here. And this is Moses talking, verse 13. It says, if it is true that you look favorably on me, this is verse 13, Exodus 33:13. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor and remember that this nation is your very own people. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. And then Moses said, check this out, if you don't go personally with us, don't make us leave this place, how will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. I want to read that last statement again. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. What makes us different as Christians and believers? Is it our theology? Is our set of, you know, is it just about superior ethics and morals? What's the thing that sets us apart from all the other peoples on the earth? It's the presence of God. It's the reality of who He is revealed among us. That's what makes it. All right. It's His presence. It's the fact that He's real. That he wants to move, that He's active. And that comes from a very different place than coming out through just, what do good Christians do? His presence is what sets us apart. His presence is what makes us different. Isn't this interesting? Moses, this is the man through whom the Ten Commandments came. God gave him the Ten Commandments. This is the man through whom the law came. And both of the law, the Ten Commandments, these are both, I mean, they're sacred, they're holy things. But why are they sacred and holy? See, Moses knew it wasn't found in just those things. As great as they are, as true as they are, as wonderful as they are, Moses has a heart that says, I don't want to go anywhere if you're not going with me. If it's not you, I don't want it. Yeah, he could have said, look, at least we got your commandments. At least we have your law. That's good. That's something. We can pretty much just sort of live according to this and we'll get along okay, right? But that's not his heart. He says, no, if you personally don't go with us, it doesn't, it's great that we have your commandments. It's great that we have your law, but it doesn't mean all that much because these things, it's not you. It's just from you. It's you that makes this living. And that's why I want you more than anything else. Now, here's the thing. God being real to us, God's presence being with us and in us and showing up in our everyday lives. You know, God, that's what makes us distinct. That's what separates us and makes us different. Not just our morals and we have a different set of do's and do nots. But here's the thing. We can think about this. Okay, so the presence of God is what makes us different. But isn't God kind of like present everywhere? You know, I mean, even if you were to read a Psalm 139, David's the one who wrote that. That's like David and Goliath, David. And he says, you know, God, where can I possibly go that's away from your presence? I mean, I can go all the way as far east and west and up the highest point and north, south, I mean, everywhere. He even goes as far to say, if I make my bed in hell, even there, you're there. I may not be a smart man, But I know there's probably a little bit of a difference between God's presence in hell and hopefully God's presence in this room today. So what is that? What's this difference between, okay, God, we know that you see it all, you're present everywhere, you know, in this kind of, you know, certainly you're present in this general sense, but what about your presence that Moses is talking about? Him being like with us and showing up in our lives. And I was kind of wrestling with this question. I mean, I knew, okay, there's a difference, you know, but God, how do I explain this, you know, and even seeing like our role in that, you know? And once again, I believe I was sitting in bed journaling, writing stuff down, just thinking about these things and just kind of praying about it and like, God, you know, show this to me. How to explain this difference between your presence just in general, universally, and your presence like manifested, revealed, and tangible. And he gave me this picture. And it kind of started with me just kind of thinking about, you know, the environment and storms and those kind of things. And then I got to thinking about lightning. And I kind of had the question, and maybe you've asked this before, about, you know, how does lightning strike? Like, does it strike from the cloud down to the ground or vice versa? You guys ever wondered that ever? So I was thinking about that, and I didn't know the answer to that question. So I did what every super spiritual person does when they don't know something. I Googled it. You guys are so smart. Man, all the spiritual people are here this morning. So, yes, I Googled it. And what I discovered is this. To the question, does it strike from the cloud to the ground or vice versa? The answer, it actually does both. Which is kind of cool. It does both. Again, we're talking about the presence of God, the difference between his universal presence and his presence revealed or manifested among us. Lightning is formed like this. It starts out from the cloud. There's an invisible path of electricity that's being kind of shot down to the earth and like in spurts. And it's a path of, it's negatively charged. It's a negative, this is science class. Isn't this exciting? You're going to learn something today. That's right. So there's a path of negative electricity coming down from the cloud in a series of spurts. And it's unseen. You can't see this. You can't see this formation with your eyes. And then the things on the ground, generally speaking, have a positive charge. So the object that's on the ground that's going to be struck, it kind of like almost like responds to this charge, this negative charge that's coming down. So because of the opposite, the negative and the positive charges, they attract to one another. And whenever those two, again, these are invisible, as these two things come together, their collision creates then the return stroke that produces, this is from the ground up to the sky, that was what produces the visible flash that you do see. Okay, cool, Sean, but what does that mean? It starts with this, the invisible. Better yet, let me illustrate it with a story here. And I forgot to ask them, you guys are out here, can I tell them a little bit about like your son and first Wednesday I was praying for you? Awesome. It's going to be very, very general. You guys could do a way better job of explaining it anyway. But there was a First Wednesday service a couple First Wednesdays ago, I believe. Something like that. It all runs together. But Pastor John was dealt with in his heart about praying for an issue that came up with a family in our church. With their son was diagnosed with really a multiplicity of things. And it was like life-threatening, like he could be gone kind of any moment sort of thing. And Pastor John felt this impressed upon his heart during First Wednesday. He said, you know what? I feel like God would have us to all pray along these lines for his complete health and healing. And so that's what we did. We acted on it. Now I want you to get this picture here. It starts with, picture that invisible charge coming down out of the cloud. God speaking to Pastor John's heart, saying, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to pray about this. You and the whole congregation of people, you need to pray about this. Pastor John and all of us who were there, we respond, right? The charge coming up from the earth. We respond to that. And those two paths met. Now, I want to read you a few things. I saw them post on Facebook about the different conditions and things that he had in his body. And pretty much almost any one of these things is going to take you out. Like within like a matter of days, probably at best. Here's all the different things that their son was diagnosed with. bacterial meningitis, bacterema, whatever that is, bacterial endocarditis, I don't know what that is either, junctional rhythm, aortic insufficiency, and DIC. All of those things, within a matter of a few days, all of those things were gone. All of it was gone. Completely healed. Yeah. Come on, what happened? What happened? God's initiating through the again, the invisible. You don't see it, but he's prompting us in our heart. He's prompting Pastor John in this specific instance, prompting him in his heart. Hey, pray about this. Pray about this, you and all the people. And so, all right, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. So we act on that. We respond to that. Those two paths collide, and that's what produces the visible flash and display of the power and the presence of God. Hallelujah. That's it. And guys, it doesn't just work like that with the big things like that. I know that's a miraculous example. But you know, it works the same way with the everyday things. It works the same way on the job. It works the same way when you're spending time with God, just reading the Bible and praying. But here's the thing, okay, so we know that there's this difference between the presence of God just kind of in general and his presence showing up for real and tangibly in my life, but how does that work? What's my part to play in that? You said we have this response and God's doing something and things colliding. What am I supposed to, how does that happen? What's the key to God's presence manifested, revealed in my life for real, everyday life? Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And this is Jesus talking. And Jesus just flat out, he gives us the answer to the key to the presence of God being manifested. And I know we don't really use the word manifest a whole lot in everyday language, but it's basically just the Bible word for something to be revealed. It gives this idea of something kind of initially kind of being covered or unseen, and now it's seen and it's tangible, it's real, you can see it. And so John chapter 14, Jesus answers this question for us. How can I experience firsthand the manifestation of the presence of God in everyday life? John chapter 14, we're going to start with verse 15, and then we're going to skip down to verse 21 to see what Jesus brings out here. Verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then verse 21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and, this is it, and manifest myself to him. A few verses down, Jesus says, I will make my home with him. Man, that sounds good. I will make my home. I will manifest myself to him. But you'll understand, this is conditional. There's an important word here at the beginning of this, and there's some ifs. Is it possible to be a Christian your whole life and hardly even experience hardly any of the presence of God for real in your life? Thank goodness we don't have to be like that. You don't have to be like that. Even if it's been like that, it doesn't have to be like that anymore. Because let's look at what Jesus said. Let's look at what Jesus said. What are the keys to experiencing that manifestation of his presence in our lives? Number one, the first thing, it's in verse 15. He said, if you love me. Now, listen, this is so important. These two keys, I just want to emphasize. This is the big idea. This is the big take-home points. This is what we've been building up to. We've said everything before this just to say this, these two things. The first thing that Jesus talks about is, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Number one, love for Jesus is our motivation. If you love me, that's the motivation, you'll obey my commandments. The first part of the picture is love for Jesus must be our motivation. It's the why. The source of our obedience matters. The why behind the obedience matters. He didn't say, if you love just being moral, if you love just being good. No, he said, if you love me, that's personal. Not, it just, you know what, he could have said, like, if you love my commandments. Even though it's good to love the commandments of God. In fact, man, David writes extensively about loving that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but you notice here, the key, it's Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, not just in what. If you love me, number one, again, love for Jesus is our motivation. Number two, that he brings out in verse 21, he said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Number two is the word of God is our foundation. The word of God is our foundation. So number one, love for Jesus is our motivation. It's the heart behind it. It's the why behind it. And number two, the word of God is our foundation. I'm going to say it again. Love for Jesus is our motivation. And the word of God is our foundation. You notice Jesus, about the word of God, about the commandments of God, what does he say? It's whoever has them and whoever keeps them. Whoever has them and keeps them. Whoever has them, that's the person who's read it, who's heard it. It's been brought into them. It's a part of them now. You know about it. And now at that point, we have a choice. Are we going to keep it? Are we going to do it? Are we going to put action behind it? And if we do those things, if we have the love for God, our heart behind, the heart behind our obedience, is our love for Jesus. And then we act on, we hear the word of God, we receive the word of God, and we put it into practice. We're going to see the manifest presence of God in our lives in that area. It really is that simple. But sometimes an issue is we pick one of the two, or we pick a part of one of them. We say, well, man, I love Jesus. But then the word of God comes. And honestly, I tell you, it's just a matter of time. Something in the Bible is going to offend you. It's just a matter of time. Something about it's going to, or it's going to make you look bad, and you're going to go, I ain't doing that. And you realize real quick, I thought I was doing pretty good. And then you read something, and you're, oh, goodness. I got to make a change. And sometimes, guys, we can kind of ignore, we can ignore the commands, we can ignore what God would have us to do, and just sort of, well, I'll just hold on to my love for Jesus. You're not going to experience God. You can't divorce God from his word. You can't divorce God from his word. We don't get to pick. He said, Jesus' words, the person who if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the person who loves me. The reality is, guys, when we don't have God's word and we're not keeping it, we're not doing it, the reality is it's time for a heart check. Because the motivation is wrong. The reality is the love may not actually be there like we may think it is. Jesus is the living word. I want us to look at this in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. Exodus 33, verse 13. I want us to hear Moses' heart with this. We already read this verse, but I want to emphasize something. Moses' heart here. Because we see these two points. We see these points illustrated when he's talking to God. Exodus 33, verse 13. Moses said, let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully. No, wait a minute. He's talking to God, let me know your ways. Why? Why, Moses? Just so you can be good? Just so you can do the good things and avoid the wrong things? No, he says, so I may understand you more fully. I want to know you. I don't want to just have your commands just to have them and keep your commands just to keep them. My motivation is I want you. So I may understand you more fully. And connected with that, and continue to enjoy your favor. I want to enjoy our relationship. He's saying to God, I want to know. I want to understand you. I want to know what you like. God, I want to know what you don't like. I don't want to do anything that's going to mess up our relationship. I don't want to do anything that may violate our connection and our closeness. I don't want to violate that. I want to do what pleases you. You understand, that isn't religious talk. That is relational talk. I want to know you. Can you hear his heart? Now, I've only been married for 10 months, but I know that a big part of that is exactly what Moses is talking about there. And see, you know this. You've experienced this, what Moses is talking about with your spouse or with a really close friend. See, part of it is saying, you know, Sarah, I want to understand you more fully. I want to understand you more fully. I want to know your ways. I want to know what you like. I want to know what you don't like. Because I want to live to enjoy your favor. Yeah. See, you can relate to that. You don't just want to know facts about your spouse. You don't want to just know facts about your friends. You want to know them. You want to know what they like. You want to know what they don't like. So that you can have a greater level of closeness, a development in your relationship. What's the two things, the two keys to experiencing the presence of God firsthand in our lives? Number one is love for Jesus is our motivation. Number two, the Word of God is our foundation, both to have it, to know it, but also to keep it, to do it. I'm going to say it again. The two keys to experiencing the presence of God in everyday life, in every single day life, in everyday things, is that we have for our motivation, love for Jesus. Love for Jesus is our motivation. And number two, the Word of God is our foundation, both to have it, to know it, but also to keep it, to do it. We do those, that's it. We just do those things. And I know sometimes that can be tough. But guys, this will answer questions for us. This will straighten some things out for us. You know, have you ever been to maybe a service and maybe you brought a friend with you or a relative or something, and maybe you went to a church service and man, God was moving, or God really spoke something to your heart, or you know, you encountered the presence of God, and maybe the person you brought, and you ask him after the service and you say, man, wasn't that awesome? Man, God was moving. And they're kind of like, man, it's church and stuff. It's okay. If you're wondering why maybe you're having trouble, or maybe to help somebody else who's having difficulty with firsthand knowledge, firsthand encounter with the presence of God, not just through what somebody else experienced. You understand? God wants to be real to you. Like to you personally. This isn't for the super spiritual. It's just for the people who will just do what he said. Who will set their hearts on him and then follow him. There can only be one of two things that's holding people back. Where's their heart? Is their motivation, is it really about their heart for Jesus, for loving him? I can tell you something's probably blocked that off or affected it. They've got their eyes, their hearts somewhere else. Or number two, the Word of God isn't their foundation in an area of their heart, in an area of their life. That either through ignorance, they just haven't heard it. They don't have it yet. Or They're not keeping it. They're just not doing it. It can only be one of those two things. So what are the two keys? One more time. What are the two things? What are the two things that enable us to experience the presence of God for real in our lives? We have to have love for Jesus is our motivation, and the Word of God is our foundation. I'm going to say it one more time. The love for Jesus is our motivation, and the Word of God is our foundation, both to have it and to do it. So what's the thing? Praise God. Let me recap this real quick. What's the thing that makes us, as believers, if you're a Christ follower, what's the thing that marks your life that makes it different? It's the presence of God. God wants to be revealed, manifested in your life. That's different than just his general presence everywhere. And if we're going to experience that firsthand, we've got to make the love for Jesus our motivation. That's relational, not just religious. And the Word of God is our foundation. So how do we apply this? Real quick as I close up. The next time that you pray, the next time that you go to spend time with God in the Word, I just encourage you to stop before you get into it and say, Father, I just thank you so much for this time. I love you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. And so because of that, I'm coming to your Word today. And I want to see you. I want to know you more fully. I want to understand you more fully as I read this. I'm not just doing that because that's just what good Christians do. I'm not just going to church today because that's just what good Christians do. I'm there because I want to understand you more fully. Because I want to experience your presence in my life for real. Because I know that you're real. I know you want to reveal yourself to me. So God, I come to your Word today, both to hear it and in areas where it makes me look bad and I'm not living up to it right now. Father, I thank you that every time you show me something where I need to make a correction, your grace is there to help me to do it. That you're not just going to leave me saying, well, you just got to live up to it. No, your grace is there to lift me up to that standard. It's his grace that does it. I encourage you to come before God with that heart. Love for Jesus, and accepting his Word, his commands, as the final authority in our life, not just because, not merely the Bible says so, even though that's good, but because I'm motivated by love for Jesus. And we only love Jesus because he first loved us and gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins so we wouldn't have to pay for it. He paid for it all so we could have life and life eternal. Let's go ahead and bow our heads together. Let's pray today. Father, we just thank you so much for your Word. We thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, we endeavor not just to hear these things, Father, but we endeavor to do it, to set our hearts upon you, that would be the drive and the desire of our lives. And that your Word would be the foundation for our lives. That your Word is what guides us. At your Word, we follow you. No matter what that means. No matter what we have to give up. No matter what we have to let go. Because we love you more. We love you more than what we want. We love you more than what we have. We love you more. Because you're our motivation. You are our life. So God, we thank you so much for speaking to us today. We thank you so much for speaking to us today. And now as we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity right now. If you don't know for sure in a time specific in your life that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, the boss of your life, you don't know that you've done that. Maybe you've gone to church for a long time. You've grown up in church, but you haven't known firsthand and you haven't given your life to Jesus. You don't know for sure that you've done that. It's real simple. The Bible says that we can just confess. We come to God, we believe in our heart, and we confess with our mouths, Jesus, you are Lord. And we surrender our lives to him. And the Bible says if we do that, man, he gives us the free gift of eternal life. It's a gift. You can't earn it. No matter whether you've been baptized or what sacrament you've taken and all these different things, listen, that's cool and all. But if that's what gets you saved, why in the world would Jesus go through what he went through? No, Jesus, he's the only one that can save us. He's the only one who paid the price for your sin. No one else did that. So if you don't know, in a time specific, coming up in a little bit, I'm going to give you a count of three to give you a chance to acknowledge before God, I choose Jesus. Not right now, but here in a second. And what we're going to do after that is we're all going to pray a prayer out loud together with you. Because, man, we want to celebrate that decision with you. We want to support you in that decision. All right, so on the count of three, I encourage you, if you don't know that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you want to today, hey, let's do it. Don't be intimidated. Go for it. On the count of three, one, two, three, raise your hand. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life today. Would you today say that? Awesome, I see you. I see you. Raise it up high. After you've raised it, you can go ahead and put it back down. Man, we're so excited for you. Anybody else? I want to give you just another quick moment to say, no, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Come on, let's be bold. Let's be bold. Let's be bold. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. If you haven't already raised up your hand, you go ahead and raise it up and put it back down. All right, look, we're all going to pray this prayer out loud together with you. Everybody, just repeat after me. Repeat it where you can hear it. And not only that, but guys, believe it in your heart. Believe it in your heart. Come on, let's pray this. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for his sacrifice for my sins. Jesus, I confess you as the Lord of my life. Thank you that you died and you rose again so I could have new life. And I receive it by faith. I believe it. Thank you that I am a child of God. My sin is washed away. And I'm brand new. And I will live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate with him. Man. Man, that's the best decision. Best decision of your life. Man, we're so happy for you. We're so excited for you. And listen, we don't want to leave you just kind of like.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.